The power of the individual is what we want. Therefore, we encourage people to engage in ventures which will be useful, in which they can innovate and make their innovations effective to increase the productive powers of labor and benefits for society as a whole. Therefore, we protect, as states, we protect this kind of investment, this kind of fostering, to improve, to enable individuals to make a contribution. In Germany, people are proud of the Mittelstand, particularly the high-tech Mittelstand in Germany, which is very essential to the success of Germany as an economy that is allowed to be successful. So therefore, we want that. We want initiative. We want individual initiative. Our conception of man is based on the creative power which is unique to the sovereignty of the individual mind. Therefore, we should be a society which is promoting the development of sovereign individual minds and of cooperation among sovereign individual minds. Therefore, public and private economy are part of the same process. They're not against one another. Without infrastructure, you can't have a private firm. Without water, you can't have a firm. Without power, you can't have a firm. Without public sanitation, you can't have health. And so on. So these are the kinds of ideas we have to shift to. And we had this as a system designed in the United States. It was called the American system of political economy, as opposed to the failed system of Europe. The failed system of Europe is the so-called parliamentary system, which works on the basis of cohabitation with a so-called independent central banking system. Central banking systems are parasites. They are collections of financier agencies, financiers who gather together like a slime mold to control what's called a central banking system, to exert control over the state. And whenever these things get into trouble, as now, or as in Europe in the 1930s, the tendency is that the financial forces behind the, which are represented by the slime mold, the central banking system, will act to destroy what is called parliamentary government, for dictatorship, in order to save the interest and power, not the money, but the power of the financier class. And that's what Hitler does. Now let's take today's situation in the United States. People are trying to explain what George Bush is doing, what he is. But George Bush is nothing. Period. I don't think he even knows who he is, although he reacts. He's reacting. He's an unreformed drunk. He doesn't drink anymore, but he's unreformed drunk. And that's not a good combination. He wants to drink. And he forces himself not to. Maybe the best thing to do is get him drunk. But he doesn't control this. George Bush is not the author of this problem. He hasn't got the brains to offer such a problem. He is only reacting. He's a reactor. No, that's not a reactor. Now, who's controlling George Bush? Well, you have Cheney and Rumsfeld. They're obvious. What's behind them? What's behind them is a very interesting phenomenon. This fellow from Germany, Leo Strauss, up north up here, a Marburg. Educated as part of the Marburg School of Studies, Social Studies, Scientific Studies, under the direction of Kasserer, Ernst Kasserer. He was given an international career by the Carl Schmitt, who designed the law under which Hitler came to power in Germany. And Carl Schmitt was a fascist, a real hardcore Nazi. Leo Strauss was also an admirer of Nietzsche. He was very close to the entire Frankfurt School, especially to Martin Heidegger, the fascist. But he had a problem. He was Jewish. And you had a number of people in Germany, including the Frankfurt School generally, who were all fascists. They were all followers of Nietzsche, like all similar kinds of people of this existential school, which Nietzsche exemplifies. As is different, the same school. The same time. But being Jewish, they couldn't qualify for Nazi Party leadership, even though their fascism was absolutely pure. They made the difference. They sent them to the United States. Well, Leo Strauss, sponsored by the prompting of Carl Schmitt, was sent by the Rockefellers to the United States, and then was picked up by Bertrand Russell of the Russell-Hutchins collaboration, and Hutchins at the University of Chicago installed Leo Strauss as a professor of Satanism at that school. The entirety of the core of the fascist gang associated intimately with the vice president came. Behind this war are all students or understudents of Strauss. So when you touch Leo Strauss, you're touching the core of a group of lackeys. Not financiers, lackeys. Like lackeys of a corrupt feudal court. These lackeys are loose, controlling the state with financial backing. Sharon is a part of the same thing. Financed and controlled from the United States by big money, which is behind the same lackeys. Now, are these guys the cause of the war? No. They're only lackeys. Israel, for example, if Israel under Sharon continues its present course, Israel will be destroyed. If Israel goes to war in the Middle East, Israel will be destroyed, like a hand grenade which has been thrown. When it reaches destination, it explodes. It does the job, and then it's fragments. It doesn't exist anymore. So, is Israel behind this? No. Israel is a hand grenade being thrown at the Arab world. So Israel's not behind this. George Bush hasn't had the brains to be behind. Who's behind them? The people I referred to in January 2001. The independent central banking system crowd, the slime mold, the financier interests, the same type of financier interests, the same descendants of the same interests that were behind the Hitler project when the former head of the Bank of England, backed by Caraman money and by the grandfather of the present president of the United States, moved the money to refinance the Nazi Party and the pressure to bring Hitler to power in January 30th, 1933. This is what is happening now. So again, there are two parts to it. One, we have the crisis. We have degenerated so far as the European civilization that we have allowed us to come to this point. Secondly, as in many tragedies, we've come to the point where the sublime is available. We have in the developing unity in Europe against this fascist push coming out of the United States in particular, and the aspirations of Asia to defend itself for security and common benefits, and the cooperation between Western Europe and Asia on long-term technology sharing as a basis for the recovery of the economies of these regions and for the prosperity of the future. This is a positive. What is required, as I've said, is the initiative leadership of action to put the potential in motion and give the world a clear sense that this positive alternative of cooperation among a group of perfectly respectively sovereign nation states is prepared to act to solve the great economic and social problems of this planet. That intersecting the public opinion that is opposed to the war can make that public opinion effective and mobilize the forces within and outside governments which will crush this fascist process in motion. This means leadership. Not public opinion, not popular opinion, but leadership. And leadership means one thing. It means people who, like John Dark, are willing to put their lives on the line to get the job done.